Things going on. The comment of the those that are here, the students especially, there has been a movement, political movement for years now, trying to reduce the education that you would receive with your license, which is not, in our opinion, necessarily a good thing for you because it reduces your education, reducing your value. And we are actively involved in trying to maintain the integrity of this industry and your futures by opposing them. Common to have a law come up where some politician wants to lower that. It's not an unusual thing, so don't feel threatened. There's plenty of effort to stop that. So we'll work to protect you. All right, now we get training. It's the best part of every, for sure.
Ooh, okay.
They're in
control, Sam.
Ooh, I'm in control. All right, I'm driving, so everybody buckle up. I'll try to make this quick. I think I have 15 minutes, but also with in respect to Gene Galvin, who will be taking over. I don't want to get into too many specifics just in case we're not 100% consistent on maybe the smaller nuts and bolts. So I'm going to hit the high points here. And I assume that you have received my memo. The presentation is the bare bones. The memo really is the gold standard and has all the really good information. So if you have questions about open meeting law, please refer to the memo. All right. So, and for some reason, I don't know what happened here, but I think we can both agree that the open meeting law has nothing to do with recommendations derived from years of practical experience representing state licensing boards. So that was a typo.
We both have them today.
That's right. The two core concepts on the open meeting law is first, it's legislator mandated that all public meetings, all meetings of any public body shall be public meetings, and all persons so desiring shall be permitted to attend and listen to deliberations and proceedings. And the second is that the meetings of public bodies be conducted openly and that notices and agendas be provided of such meetings. As you saw today, there was a typo in the agenda regarding the minutes. So instead of, you know, just perfunctorily saying, well, you know, we'll just call it December, right? You know, we did the right thing. We moved it to next month and, you know, it's not agendized appropriately. So we don't want to violate the open meeting law. What is the purpose of the open meeting law? Well, it has three purposes: to protect the public officials, and the relationship between them, to promote accountability of public officials, and to encourage knowledgeable public participation. So again, those kind of all focus around just transparency, right? Being the public being able to understand how you're making your decisions and not feeling like you're making them, you know, without them being able to understand that. All right, who does it apply to? All public bodies. Categories of public bodies: boards, commissions, such as this board, quasi-governmental corporations, quasi-judicial bodies, advisory committees, and standing in special committees and subcommittees. And why that's important is from time to time, the board may also form committees for the purposes of legislation or looking at certain things. And it's important to understand that in those meetings that, you know, notice, agenda, the ability for people to attend, those are all components that are applicable to those committees as well. The actions that are covered by the open meeting law, all legal action. And legal action is a collective decision, commitment, or promise made by a public body pursuant to the specified scope of appointment in the laws of the state. All discussions, deliberations, considerations, or consultations among a majority of the members of a public body regarding matters that may foreseeably require final action or final decision by the governing body constitute legal action and therefore must be conducted in a public meeting or executive session in compliance with public meeting law, the open meeting law, excuse me. And again, this can be important too because you may have a case before the board and you may have people approach you. They understand that you have a problem on the board and they may feel that that's the opportunity to try to, you know, adjudicate their case or at least, you know, get some information about how the situation might go. And it's important to understand that that is a violation of the open meeting law. And And it brings you, you come to the table with more information than those sitting around you do. And we kind of talked about that last week. Everybody should be on the same playing field operating with the same amount of information. What is required under the open meeting law? In addition to the requirement that legal action be taken, and it also requires noticed agendas and minutes. So notices, again, as you know, they have to be posted 24 hours in advance. and the purpose is to expose the public body's decision-making process to public scrutiny. Again, we have to call the public. Notice makes it possible for the public to attend public meetings by informing them of when and where to go and the matters under consideration. That way they can also understand, you know, what's going to be discussed. I know sometimes it feels like these agenda, you know, captions and items are pasted on there, but there's a lot of time and energy that goes into crafting the language to ensure that it gives the board the opportunity to do what it needs to. But, you know, also doesn't curtail the board's ability to do other things that it may need to. So there's a little bit of foresight that goes into, you know, crafting those agenda items. But they're very, very important in the open meeting law to ensure that things are agendized appropriately so that if the public picks that up, they can understand exactly what the board was discussing. In addition to notice, you have the agenda, and the agenda should have the date, time, and place of the meeting. It must also have, you know, enough information to reasonably inform the public, again, just like we talked about, enough information. And again, this is kind of more for Frank and staff when they go into crafting those agendas, but really, you know, just describing enough to provide the information so that it's understood what was spoke about. Again, the agenda must be available 24 hours ahead of time. Generally, that's posted on the board's website. It's also, of course, posted downstairs here on the bulletin board, and then I believe on the Secretary of State website. No, okay. So those two places. The public body may not discuss or take action on any subject that's not on the agenda. So if it's not agendized, you know, and you'll hear me sometimes say, hey, I'm sorry, I'm being the wet blanket, but, you know, we didn't agendize that. And if we do, you know, discuss a matter that's not on the agenda, that is a violation of the open meeting law, and there's, you know, then expectations that the board cure that, there may be ramifications for undergoing that kind of action or conduct. Again, best practice is just to postpone discussion to another meeting and have it appropriately agendized. And then again, you're going to have two types of minutes, your open meeting minutes and your executive session minutes. The open meeting minutes are posted on the board's website within 3 days. A lot of boards will do a draft and put the audio up and wait for the board to approve the draft before they finalize those. On the minutes, again, date, time, and place of the meeting, who spoke, what action was taken, why that action was taken, basically, so that, again, the public can pick up those meeting minutes afterwards or listen to that audio and understand exactly what was going on in the meeting. All right, quorum, starting the meeting. So in order to start the meeting, you gotta have a quorum. This is timely. quorum for this board, it's a 9-member board, so your quorum is 5. Without a quorum, you can't start the meeting. If you don't have a quorum, you can always wait. It's, you know, just as you did, you let the people in the galley know that we're waiting. As soon as we have a quorum, we'll start the meeting. In case you lose a quorum during the middle of the meeting, if that person can't immediately come back rather than recess, then that meeting is just over once you lose that quorum. And again, the agenda dictates when you're going to start that meeting and start different portions of that meeting, including formal hearings. Those things that are set for a specific time, they can be held after reasonably, but they should never be held before they are set. Let's see, the quorum is required for taking any action. You already know that one. Until you start the meeting. Again, board members, again, it's just a little bit of tips here. If you can't attend a meeting, notify staff in advance. Quorum cannot participate. The meeting will be canceled, postponed. The quorum is not present, designate start time. The chair of the member should announce that they're waiting for a quorum. And again, that's, you know, and I don't need to tell you guys, there's people who come from very far. Sometimes there's people who take time out of their day to be here. So if we know that we're not going to be hearing one of their cases or their case, it's important to be able to at least let that person know so, you know, they can go about their day. Again, no quorum equals no meeting. And I'll get into this in a second. This is more of open meeting law as it relates to the record that you're creating and creating a clear record. The purpose is of reviewing that record afterwards. So again, you know, when you're discussing quorum, there's a lot of things that go into that. There's conflicts of interest, there's abstentions, you know, and we can get down in the weeds on that, but you know, I'll save that for a later time. If you want to just review this and look at it for your purpose, what's important to know is that five is a quorum. If you have five here, somebody has to recuse themselves, then you can't hear whatever matter that they recuse themselves on. So that's really the important takeaway there. All right, executive set. Okay, maintaining order. Each person should be recognized by the chair before speaking. Avoid side conversations and whispering to each other. Again, even if you're sitting in the chair next to each other at the meeting, if you're discussing the matter with the person next to you and you're whispering, again, you're not actually discussing it out on the public record. So just remember, if you have anything to say, make sure you're saying it out on the public record and not deliberating. That goes for, you know, when you step outside the meeting as well during bathroom breaks, things like that. Only one person speaks at a time. Do not interrupt another speaker. Do not talk over each other. Again, that's just for the record, because I know this board and many boards post the audio at the minute. Yeah.
What about bathroom break?
Oh, on bathroom break, do not discuss the cases on bathroom breaks.
Of course.
No, on bathroom breaks, you have to be totally quiet. Good question. I like that. I left you hanging there. So I understand. But again, the maintaining order, this is really just about creating that clear record. Especially if someone's coming into the meeting late and, you know, everybody's speaking over one another, you're not being clear, you're not calling out which agenda item you're specifically on. It's very hard for those individuals to be able to follow along. And then the public has the right to attend and take photographs and audio record or video record, but may not disrupt the meeting. Do not permit members of the audience to shout out, have a call to the public on the agenda to allow members to address the board in an orderly manner. You know that one. Again, if you anticipate there could be a disruption or danger, please reach out to Frank ahead of time. Frank can always handle that with the security here in the building. And then again, just for clarity, make sure that we are announcing each agenda item very clearly. That way, people who are coming into the meeting know exactly what's happening. Again, you can take things out of order. Usually indicate that at the beginning of the meeting. But again, if there's a timed event, we will wait until that time comes. Speak loudly and clearly. Do not mumble. Do not talk in your papers or your hand. The audience in the back of the room should be able to hear you. A lot of it is about public perception. Eating during the board meeting looks bad. Apart from possible conversations with board staff or council, so as not to be overheard, avoid talking about board business and restroom breaks and lunch or whether in the meeting room. I know that can be difficult, especially if you've just had a very interesting, contentious, acrimonious case. But always please just try your best not to discuss that when you walk out of the room. Unless otherwise provided by law, the board acts by a majority vote of the quorum. Taking action requires a motion, a second, and affirmative vote. And I'll get to the call, and then the call to the public. Okay, call to the public is another opportunity for the public to address the board openly in the meeting. Generally, you're not going to be able to discuss these matters with them because they are not agendized at the time. However, if there is any kind of discussion regarding criticism of the board, it's okay to respond. However, it should not be multiple board members responding. Otherwise, then, you know, a quorum of the members are discussing something that's not agenda. Establish a reasonable time limit for each speaker, which I believe you already do, and make sure that someone keeps that time and you keep it consistent. Make sure that speakers identify themselves that way that it can be put on the record.
Real quick.
Yeah.
With they say something, it's not agenda, we can't talk about it, but one person can respond?
If the board is responding to criticism, right, criticism possibly of how you, the way you run the meeting, it's very, very limited, very rarely happened. I'll let Gene Galvin handle that one for you if it ever comes up. I've never seen it come up, so, but it's a good question. Unless the matter is separately listed on the agenda, board members may not comment on, discuss, ask questions about, or vote on matters raised and called to the public. No more than one or two board members should respond to criticism because multiple responses amounts to a discussion, which is prohibited for matters not specifically listed on the agenda. Inform the public of the limitation on call to the public. It's a good idea to have a notice on the agenda, such as action taken as a result of the public comment will be limited to direct staff. And this is important too, because a lot of times the people who come before the call to the public, they don't know that. And they think it's the opportunity to discuss a matter with the board. So that language can help. Executive sessions. Okay, this is a big part of the open meeting law. We just took a little detour there for a minute. But executive session is gathering of quorum for which the public is excluded and which is authorized by ARS section 38431.01A. So all of your title 38 section 431 is going to be where your open meeting law content and direction are. That's what you're going to look to find those statutes. Executive sessions are only permitted in seven circumstances under the open meeting law, and that is employment matters, records exempt from public inspection, confidential record, legal advice, consultation with attorneys of the public body in order to instruct or consider its position, and instruct its attorneys regarding the public body's position in pending or contemplated litigation. Discussion or consultation with the public body's designated representatives, consider its position, instruct with representatives regarding negotiations with employee organizations, salary schedule. And then there are two more, but for your purposes, one, two, and three, employment matters, personnel, confidential records, and legal advice. Those are the three that you generally will go into executive session on. The other important thing, this goes back to the agendas, they must be listed on the agenda in order to go into executive session for any of those purposes. Generally, the top of the agenda will just say the board may go into executive session for any on any matter in order to obtain legal advice. When it comes to confidential matters, usually the board will be more targeted and put that under a specific item. Now, before a public body may meet in executive session, you must have a quorum, and then you have to have a vote. After an executive session, just so you remember, executive session is our little Vegas. What's said there stays there. And when you come back out, please make sure that you don't discuss the legal advice that you were given while you were in executive session. Another good thing to do is when you come out of executive session to call the meeting back to order. In executive session, you give out the confidentiality statements, which we just discussed. People who may be present in executive sessions are individuals whose presence is reasonably necessary in order for the board to carry out its executive session responsibility. Obviously, the board members, somebody to take the minute. Person who is the subject of personnel decision the Auditor General if necessary, and myself, or Gene Galvin. Ask all the persons to leave the room and take briefcases, purses, laptop, etc. Or you may go into the conference room right over here. Avoid roving discussions in executive session, no straw polls, voting, and generally no consensus. Executive sessions for legal advice, limit the board's attorney giving legal advice, and board members asking the attorney questions about the advice. Obviously, there's going to be some exceptions to that rule where you will be able to speak a little bit more in executive session than you normally would. But when it's for legal advice, it is simply limited to asking legal questions and receiving legal advice.
Mm-hmm. Straw polls, like.
So the other thing that can happen is what can be a violation of the open meeting law is, you know, if we go to each other one at a time to discuss an issue and we essentially deliberate on that issue without actually deliberating it on it, because we've created a quorum by having the same discussion with everybody to kind of feel out how they may vote on that matter. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. The board's attorney is not present, the board cannot go into executive session for legal advice. That one's pretty straightforward. Board members' discussion on the underlying matter must occur in public session. No voting in executive session. Board must vote public. At conclusion of executive session, chair announces that executive session is ended. Let the public back in the room before proceeding with public session. Again, do not reveal your attorney's legal advice or any other information from the executive. These are the opportunity for us to, you know, receive legal advice on sensitive matters. And, you know, if individuals cannot keep that to themselves, it can create larger issues for the board. Okay, so this just kind of ties back in. The meeting will end with the loss of a quorum unless it's for a short time and that person's going to come back. The board may be able to reach that for a short amount of time. Other ways, it may end by unanimous consent or motion to adjourn for the minute. Staff should note the time the meeting ends, obviously the time the meeting starts and ends, and then any time you leave and come back into session. Board members should avoid hanging around and discussing business with each other after the meeting. I know that can be difficult, but it just maintains that distance. And again, my role is to provide the board legal advice, ensure the board complies with statutes and rules, and the open meeting law, and to conduct hearings pursuant to statute and notion of process. My job is not to hamper or impede board business, but to help guarantee it's done lawfully. I don't direct policy. When advice is given during a meeting, it's for the protection of the board. It's important to remember we represent the board as a whole. We do not represent any staff member or board member individually. Be prepared, be fair, and you cannot help but do good work. Thank you.
Very nice. Do you have any questions from any board members about any part of this training that we could cover right now?
Just play real quick. Appreciate it.
No, thank you. And Mr. Chair, members of the board, just as a way of doing this, similar to last year or end of 22 and into 23, we will continue to do 15, 20, 30 minute chunks of training on various items. I think we had identified, what did we identify the next one to be? I can't remember.
Adjudication of complaints.
Yes, adjudication of complaints to help you better understand why the script is the way it is, why we need to make sure that we're following that, some of those types of things. So we will continue that next month.
And one thing I did want to say that I forgot, along with the straw poll, that's email communication. So kind of with public records, you know, I put it in the email for you. Just understand that anything you email to anybody on the staff, FRAG board, it is a public record as long as it pertains to board business. And anything you email another board member pertaining to board business is a public record, and it can be requested and is required to be.
And Mr. Chair, members of the board, by way of practicality of that, what I do when I'm sending information to you all is I put your information in BCC so that if somebody accidentally clicks that reply all, we don't create an issue there. Additionally, we have a separate confidentiality clause in those emails that go from me to you, just to kind of cover all those bases.
Okay. All right, thank you very much. We appreciate that. Better we are trained, better job will do. Take care of these guys. Thank you for your work.
Not quite.
All right. So now we have the review discussion, possible action on updating the board parameters specifically regarding licensing statutory and regulatory violations.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, if I may, this was at the request of, I believe, member Goodman last month to have a discussion and maybe come to a new consensus around the question of licensure and when there's licensing violations and the consistency of issuing penalties, if you will, on those cases. So if you're okay with it, I put together a couple of slides with the statute, the rules, and the current board parameters that were drafted by the board in 2000 boards separate in 2019. So if you're okay with that, and I'll go very as quickly as possible here because I know we're running a few minutes behind. So in the current statute for barbers, it states the person shall not practice or attempt to practice barbering without a current barber license issued pursuant to this chapter. I think it's very important to note that language shall not. Okay. And then it also shall not practice or teach in or operate a school or operate a shop or salon which does not have a current license issued pursuant to this chapter. So it is very clear in statute that the items are required and that you cannot do those things if you don't have that license. And actually, maybe I should be careful about that so I'm not actually. In the cosmetology statute, it's a little bit longer, same context. The person shall not perform or attempt to perform cosmetology, aesthetics, nail technology, hairstyling, or personal services related to eyelash extensions without a license or registration in this category issued pursuant to this chapter or practice in a category in which the person does not hold a license or registration. Must display or shall not display a sign or in any way advertise or hold oneself out as a cosmetologist, esthetician, nail technician, hairstylist, or eyelash extension, or as being engaged in the practice or business of cosmetology, aesthetics, nail technology, hairstyling, or eyelash extensions without being licensed or registered pursuant to this chapter. That's Cosmo statute. Pretty, again, very clear that the requirement is there. The current administrative code, so the regulations around barber, state that a license holder or supervising barber shall ensure that every individual, whether an individual or independent contractor who practices barbering in the shop, has a current license issued under ARS 32322 and R410602. Additionally, it says each required license and the most recent board inspector's record are displayed according to ARS 32351A. So there's the regulation supporting those requirements that are in statute. Subsequently, for Cosmo, it states the school licensee shall display the licenses of the school licensee and all instructors near the school entrance visible to the public. A salon licensee shall prominently post the license of the salon licensee and ensure that the personal license of each licensee performing services in the salon is posted in the licensee's workstation. Additionally, and this I realize is very small on the screen, so I do apologize to those of you that are on virtually, but I do have a larger handout copy of this for you. These board parameters were established by the separate boards in 2019 and have a varying capacity of what at that time was agreed upon as the right civil penalty to be issued if somebody was in violation of licensing. Now, just to be very clear, the board parameters include many more categories. I just pulled the licensing one for specific to this agenda item.
As a quick clarification, this was Kelly Shepard, Deputy Director, DA, on that is not California, it's consent agreement.
Yes, thank you. Sorry. So with that,
I don't mean to interrupt, but are you sharing something for us on digitally or virtually?
It should be on the screen virtually, yes.
Okay, we're not able to see anything on screen.
We're getting to that right now.
Got it, thank you.
Yep.
I see it now, thank you.
Yeah, I apologize. So, Mr. Chair, members of the board, I think at this point, what we're, I think the conversation, and maybe Member Goodman, I believe, is on the line. If you, again, it's your meeting, Mr. Chair. I think ultimately what we're trying to get to is a place of what is the right thing? What is the right penalty to be issued? And I think to drive to some level of consistency, because I think for me, as the executive director of the organization, I have identified some level of risk in that dependent upon the makeup of the members of the board that are at any given meeting is dependent upon what penalty is being issued. So 1 month it could be one thing, and then the next month, depending on who's, you know, here for the quorum, it could be something different. And I think that poses a risk to the organization that we have inconsistent violations being issued to licensees. So I think in a perfect world for me, and kick me under the table if I say something I'm not supposed to say, we'd love to get to a place of consistency, something that a consensus from the board, and actually potentially a vote, depending on the way the because of the way the agenda item was written, on if we need to update the staff parameters regarding these items, we're more than happy to do that. And again, I think it's just about getting to a place of consistency, that will get to a place of having month over month consistency of the discipline that's issued in the case.
Well, we need to be fair.
And fair.
To be fair, we need to be even. So yes, if we need to review these, I think that would be appropriate for us to create this, and as we move forward, to stay in this matter, so that no matter what, we're regulating every similar operation has a similar situation to deal with.
So I think there would be a couple options on the table, then, Mr. Chair. So I appreciate that. Is what we could do is we could go, you could direct staff to go back and put together a proposal, and we could bring that back to you next month. You could come to an agreement now on what you want that to be, and we can update it. I think the way we Seamus's point earlier, I think we crafted the agenda item in a manner that the board has options for those next steps today.
Well, I'm sure the board would want to have the most thought put in this that is necessary. So we would prefer to have this reviewed over some time and brought back to us as a proposal so that we can look at that proposal. So do we need to do this in motion format?
Motion to direct staff.
Okay, so I make a motion we direct staff to review these different parameters that are separate for the two different license types and come up with a commonality to present to us to review next month, so that we can create a better fairness in the way that we present these.
I'm second.
Okay, a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Randy, are you there?
Yep, just on mute. Aye.
Oh, thank you. All right. So unanimously, we agree to have the staff review this for us, look at it carefully, come up with a good proposal, bring it back in next month, and we'll vote on it.
Deal.
Thank you.
Kelly Shepherd, Deputy Director, I apologize if you've already said that. Our investigative staff compliance team does use these parameters when they put those civil penalties into the letters. So that's where those amounts are coming from, is that we are using those parameters. I believe the board always has the option if they ever wanted to change the civil penalty to a different amount. That's an option. But I think in terms of going back to the issue of consistency as to what the discipline would be, absolutely, obviously up to the board.
That's what we're looking for, is fairness.
And as the proposed statute that we have before the legislature right now would give us the opportunity to make these consistent between both the cosmetology industry and the barbering industry.
And do the massage industry. Good. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Or the board's there.
And I had a question, but I see now where I don't need that question.
All right. Any other board comments on this particular item? Nick, are you satisfied? Mr. Goodman? She's still there.
Are you there, Nick? Marshall?
Marshall's here.
Thank you, Marshall.
Brandy?
Here.
Okay. Is Nick on virtually there?
Not for me.
Well, we still have quorum with Marshall and...
Marshall, how much more time do you have?
Probably about 10 minutes.
Okay, then we're going to do a...
Consensus.
Consent. Let's just jump up with all the decisions. Motion to deem for the meeting cap now. Yes. So that will be somewhere back here. All right, so we're going to jump to section 8 now. Items B, review, discussion, possible action on motion being allegations admitted. All right. We'll jump ahead to this because of time and time wise, we're okay. It's 10, 15 or 17 or something like that.
So, Mr. Chair, I'll point to your motion to deem scripts in your packet.
I think I have it here, and like there are several, but I actually there's none. But we'll go a little bit faster. All right. Then starting on case number 97787, Carol Estrada, license number 1110169. With the time scheduled for the board's consideration of the state's motion deem allegations admitted in case number 97786. Is the state represented?
Yeah, thank you, board members. Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan representing the state.
Is the licensee present? Carol Estrada, license 1110169. Hearing no response, I assume that they're not present. A motion to deem allegations admitted was filed by the state and a copy was mailed to the licensee at their last known address on record with the board. In the state's motion, it says that a complaint and notice of hearing was mailed to the licensee at their last known address, 30 days passed, and no answer was filed by the licensee. Does the state wish to make oral arguments?
Yes, I'll be quick. Thank you, board members. Again, Assistant Attorney Seamus Monahan. So the facts in this case are that on August 25th, 2022, board investigator conducted an inspection. During the inspection, respondent was found working in an unlicensed establishment. The respondent did have an active license at the time. So the respondent was notified. The board substantiated the violation and requested that the respondent show up on February 17th, 2023 for a formal interview. The respondent failed to show up. A complaint notice of hearing was issued on September 14, 2023 by certified and first class mail to the respondent's address of record with the board. September 18, 2023, USPS documentation shows that the complaint notice of hearing was left with an individual presumed to be able to receive notice for the respondent at the respondent's address of record. Pursuant to 32573T, the respondent had 30 days to respond. It's been almost 5 months since they received that, and there has been no response. Therefore, the state respectfully requests that you deem the allegations as admitted that every complaint goes to the hearing, that you vacate the hearing today and take action without holding that hearing. I'll just jump ahead. The state really doesn't have a recommendation for discipline, but the state would speculate, would stipulate that the individual has had this for over 5 months and failed to participate. Thank you.
All right, again, I'd like to be an opportunity to respond. Carol Estrada, license 11101269. If you're on the phone, star 6 to unmute your phone. You can call in Carol Estrada. License 11101269. Hearing no response. Is there a motion granting the state's motion deem allegations admitted?
I move to grant the state's motion to deem allegations admitted.
Okay, do we have a second?
Second, Martin Mock.
Yeah, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Unanimously, we agree that. All right, it's just no danger, so. Does your motion adopt finding facts, conclusions of law?
I move that we adopt the factual allegations and the alleged violators in the formal hearing complaint.
Violation.
Mm-hmm. Alleged violation.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Mr. Goodman?
He's not here.
Okay. Brandon, are you good?
Yeah, good.
All right. So again, unanimously, we agreed that the findings, fact, conclusion of law were met. Is there a motion regarding the order of discipline in this matter?
I move that we impose the following discipline as our order in this matter, and that is the $50 fine.
Okay.
Civil penalty with a 12-month probationary period with early termination.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, for the record, Diane Dedea, Assistant Attorney General, serving as the board's independent legal advisor on this matter. For the discipline imposed, we would need to do a roll call vote, please.
Okay, roll call vote.
Thank you.
Okay, for a roll call vote, Gary Bagley.
Yes.
Marshall Knott.
Yes.
Tracy Wilkins.
Yes.
Brandy Flores.
Aye.
Brandon McFadden.
Yes.
And then I don't know if Nick Goodman's on, but Nick Goodman.
Okay, still majority. All right, this concludes this matter in order to be prepared by the staff to mail the licensee and the Assistant Attorney General.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, once Marshall Member Knox leaves, we will lose quorum for the day.
All right. Marshall, how are you right now?
I've got probably about 2 minutes left.
Can we get to consent agenda, maybe?
All right, we're going to run through the front part of the consent agenda.
Step 1A, application denial. Would we have time to do the denial? Leaving? Or do I go to the step?
Yeah. Anything you can get done.
Step 1B, recommendations for dismissal. Mr. Chairman, member of board, all cases listed on step 1B recommended dismissal have been reviewed according to board's parameters. And we would ask the board to consider staff recommendations to take other non-disciplinary actions.
No motion?
I don't accept.
We have a motion to accept staff recommendation.
Yes, second.
Yeah, we have a motion. That's next. All in favor, say aye.
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 So that group is done. Next group.
Step 1C, recommendations for non-disciplinary concern. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, all cases listed under Step 1C recommended non-disciplinary concerns have been reviewed according to board's parameters. And we would ask for to consider staff recommendations or take other non-disciplinary action.
Okay, do we have a motion? I'll make a motion that we accept staff recommendations on section C. Do we second?
I second.
A motion and a second, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Right?
Aye.
Yeah, five, you know, we agree on that. D?
F1D, recommendation for informal interviews with negotiation terms. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, all cases listed under step 1D, recommended for informal interview with negotiation terms have been reviewed according to board parameters, and we would ask the board to consider staff recommendations or take other non-disciplinary action.
Okay, do board have any questions about D? Any cases you want to review? Hearing no response, I make a motion that we accept staff recommendation on section D. Second?
I second.
Second.
We have a motion and a second, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Now, if you agree to accept D. I think we're there, Marshall. All right, thank you, Marshall, appreciate your participation and everyone else too.
No problem.
We are out of quorum at this point because of the need for Mr. Knox to move to something else. So I move, we move all the other cases forward to next month.
I second.
And everyone in favor, say aye.
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 All right, so move everything forward, you have one more motion we make before we get out of quorum, anyone want to say adjourn?
Adjourn?
Oh, you have to make.
I make a motion.
That we adjourn?
I move that we adjourn.
We have a second?
I second that, Brandon McFadden.
All right, based on that, all in favor, say aye.
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 All right, thank you all very much. Abbreviated work, but we got a lot of business. Thank you all for coming. You understand why we had to stop?
So all the cases, just to make sure I understand, all the cases that wasn't discussed is going to be moved to next month?
We had to move it forward, we don't have a quorum anymore, and we can only operate if we have a full quorum. We were one member short of having a quorum, so yeah, everything gets moved forward.
Okay, will we get a email notification of the new?
Yes, you will, you absolutely will. Yeah, we appreciate it, we're sorry we weren't able to take care of the bid bubbles, but we have to abide by the law.
Okay, thank you so much.